Welcome, everyone. My name is Reba, and you are listening to the Mystery Box Show podcast. On today's episode of the Mystery Box Show podcast, find out what it really means to be a phone sex operator. I'll let this story speak for itself. Please welcome into your ear holes, Amberly Rothfield.
Cold, alone in the back seat of my best friend's car, out of options and completely hungry, homeless at the age of 18. That's exactly where I started my phone sex operating career. With no public transportation, wasn't a lot of options available for me. So I opened up the local paper, went to the classified section, and saw adult voice actress and thought, I would be using this voice instead. Or maybe I'd be using this voice. Who knows what they want? So I called the number and I showed up at the address, walked down a cold, lonely, brightly lit hallway. And I sit down in this chair and this wonderful, bubbly lady comes over to me and looks me up and down and goes, Oh, hi. You're awful young. Are you sure you're in the right place? Do you know what you're going to be doing? And I looked at her questionably and I was like, yeah, using this voice or something? And that's when she put some headphones on my head and said, listen to some test calls, and walked quickly out of the room. To which then it dawned on me I was in the wrong place. As I listened to guys going, oh yeah, baby, give it to me. I want that pussy. I was freaked out. Being from Dallas, Texas, and this little sweet girl who thought doggy style was frankly quite kinky, I was like, what the fuck am I getting myself into? But I can do anything for 15 bucks an hour, because that's triple what my friends were making at the time. And I figured, okay, you know, I can do anything for a month. I'll be perfectly fine. I'll go home. Yes, I will take this job. And so I call up my friend and I say, hey, can I get a room in the back? And can I just stay for the night and use your phone? And she says, okay, but you know, just you got a week. And I was like, all right, so I'll do this. And I sat at home knowing this was gonna be a monitored call because they had moderators. And I put the headphones on my head and I pick up the phone, and everything I thought would happen started just in my ear. The guy was like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 18. And then he's like, what are you doing, honey? And I was like, sitting on my bed. And he's like, are you ready for daddy's big dick? And in my head, I was like, oh, hell no. But yet still, I participated. I was like, yeah, whatever you want. And all of a sudden, you could hear him just going at it. And I was like, oh, ah. And he's like, I want to hear that pussy. And I was like, oh, gosh, okay. And I just grabbed my cheek and started going. I guess that's where we're at now. And I went with it, and I kept thinking, oh my gosh, these guys are so perverted and disgusting, and I'm nothing like them. I'm so much better. I would never do this stuff. And every call after that was fairly similar. You know, guy calls and he asks me what I'm doing, but what he really means is, how naked am I? And I sit there and try to do small talk until I realize that's not going to happen. And days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months. I'm making good money. I'm stable. I'm having my own house. I'm, well, renting. But, you know, whatever. I'm independent. I'm no longer eating out of trash cans. That's a plus. So I'm really, really happy, but I'm not that happy with my job. But, you know, that's being 18 years old. And then came the call that changed, you know, everything. One day I pick up the phone curmudgeon as I typically am. And I was like, hi, this is Amberly. Who's this? And he's like, hi. So, has he got Nick at Night? Why, yes, I do have the basic cable package. Yeah, can you turn it to Nick at Night, darling? I want to watch Nick at Night with you. And I was like, okay, I can turn it to Nick at Night. How kinky is this going to get? How is he going to fuck up I Love Lucy? So I can't tell you how nervously I turned it to Nick at Night, and it was Matlock. I watched that shit with my dad. So I'm like, okay, it's a lawyer show. Okay, and we watch it together, and we spend the evening chit-chatting and talking about exactly what's going on in the show, and I'm waiting for it, because it's coming, and not a good coming. I mean, I'm waiting for that super perverted freaking moment that it's going to come down. And then he goes, okay, darling, well, thank you. Good night. I can't tell you how disappointed I was. So, the next night, same thing happens. Darling, can you turn on Nick at Night? And I'm ready for it. He's going to do it this time. He was building me up. Yeah, he was. I turn to Nick at Night, and we just discuss the show. And he tells me a little bit about his day, and I'm like, here we go. We're not talking about the show. I'm so ready for this. Nothing. He says good night. And so every night at 8 o'clock, my phone rings habitually, and I get that little whisper message telling me who it is. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready for it, buddy. I've got Nick at Night on. And it's always the same thing. So finally, a few months later, I was like, okay, I told the moderators to give you 5 free minutes on me, buddy. I need to know why we're watching Nick at Night every night. And that's when I heard a lump form in his throat. And I could audibly feel the conversation change. And in a really weak voice for a guy who was always laughing and honestly became a highlight to my day, he tells me that his beloved wife died a few years back. And the way he went to bed every night was to watching Matlock with her. And he can't go to sleep unless he watches Matlock with someone, and his kids don't want to put up with him anymore. So it was then that all of the calls after that became a little bit more human to me, and more human and more human, and I could see myself in every single guy that called me. And I didn't just begin to like my job, I began to love my job. I became the hero that somebody needed in that moment. Maybe not necessarily the hero I envisioned myself being.
Amberly Rothfield, everyone. If you want to get in touch with Amberly, you can do so at amberlyrothfield.com for marketing classes and consulting. We'll have that listed in the detailed description below. She is also the author of the book 90 Days and Paid, Jumpstart Your Online Sex Work Business. That was just published a month ago. And How I Made $10,000 a Month as a Phone Sex Operator. Amberly is fantastic. I can't recommend her books and her website and her consulting more highly. Check her out. And let us know what you thought about her story. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or email. And all of those links are at our website at mysteryboxshow.com. If you'd like to support the Mystery Box Show, spread the word, tell people about our podcast. You can also look at our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/mysterybox show, or become a supporter on Patreon, where you can have early episodes of this podcast, of Confession Corner videos, and so much more. That's at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow. The music in this episode comes from our good friend Farnell Newton and the Othership Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. A special thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow. On our next episode of the Mystery Box Show podcast, you'll hear from a young and horny college RA who took his peers a little deeper than what he had intended.
And all of a sudden, he clambers on top of the cage, and I'm hoisted 50 feet in the air in a cage with this random sexy butler.
We'll see you next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.